Welcome to the Texas Wine Scene Podcast, the most up-to-date information to help you prepare for your wine tasting weekend. I'm Mike, your Texas Wine Scene correspondent, bringing you all the wine happenings in and around the great state of Texas, from the High Plains to the Hill Country. If you love Texas wine, you've come to the right place. Let's take a trip. Welcome back, everyone, to the Texas Wine Scene Podcast. I am your host, your Texas Wine Scene correspondent, Mike Cole, bringing you all the wine happenings in and around this great state of Texas. We have a great interview on the show today, and I'm excited to help our guests share their vision for their community, their company, and their wine projects. But before we get into the interview today, I want to mention a big event coming up for the holiday season. Tickets are now on sale for the Texas Hill Country Winery's Christmas Wine Affair Passport event happening on November 24th through December 19th. Savor all that the Texas Hill Country has to offer this holiday season with 25 days to visit up to four wineries per day. Your passport ticket includes a complimentary wine tasting and a 15% discount on three bottle purchases at each of the 50 participating wineries. Each ticket sold for the passport event goes directly to support the Texas Hill Country Winery's Industry Scholarship Fund. For more information and passport purchases, visit texashillcountrywineries.org. My guests today are Victor and Elizabeth Eichhorn of Copper Rose Wine Bar here in the Beacon Hill neighborhood of San Antonio, Texas, and Nobleman Wines in Kerrville, Texas. Elizabeth is an experienced veteran in the hospitality industry, as well as a coach for women-owned businesses with over a decade of experience running and coaching business startups. While Victor, on the other hand, is a marketing and communications expert who not only has experience running the operational side of several nonprofit organizations, he is the CEO and chief chicken chaser in their garden at their home in San Antonio, Texas. Please welcome to the show, Victor and Elizabeth Eichhorn.
Thanks for having us, Mike. We're glad to be here, and welcome to Copper Rose.
Cheers. Thank you. Cheers.
Thank you.
Man, I have to mention the chickens because on your website at copperrose.com, there's a picture of you in your eyes with these chickens. I crack up every time I go to the website. Before we get into the interview, man, you got to tell me a little bit about these chickens.
Absolutely. Of course. I Elizabeth and I are really big gardeners. We're really big into sort of like, I don't want to say homesteading because that feels a little more extreme than what we do at home, but we do have a lot of gardens. We're really into nature, natural plants and native plants. We're, she's a certified master naturalist and I'm a certified master gardener. And, we've got chickens at the house as part of like our whole little, like outdoor ecosystem that feed our compost and feed our gardens and our vegetables and our flowers and everything. And I've just, you know, we have always been really enamored with farm life, which is a part of our love for wine as an agricultural product. And the chickens are just a part of our little teeny tiny urban farm.
Well, that's pretty cool.
The rest of the story with the chickens is that we wanted to make sure that they were hens instead of roosters. So we waited for us to be able to find chickens that were old enough to be able to tell the difference. And then we ended up getting four chickens that looked identical. And so we thought, well, this is great. We'll name them after the Golden Girls, but they didn't actually, you know, differentiate from each other. So we just named them Dorothy. So we have chickens that are all named Dorothy.
All four chickens are named Dorothy.
Yes. All of our chickens are named Dorothy.
So, Victor, as you're running around chasing these chickens, are you saying, come here, Dorothy, come here, Dorothy,
and everyone No. See, I've got them trained very well from a young age. You know, I made a clicking noise whenever I would feed them, so all I have to do is walk outside and go, and they just come running because they know that is a signal that I've got food.
Trained chickens. That's pretty cool.
Walking around the yard, backyard doing yard work, if they're out, which they are out more often than they should be, they just follow me around the yard in a line.
Cool. Well, fantastic. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
That part about the chickens.
100%.
I thought it was hilarious on the website. So let's get into it. I understand you guys moved here a couple years ago here to San Antonio. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about where you're coming from before San Antonio, a little bit of background information about you guys?
So I grew up in West Texas and ended up going to grad school in California, which is where Victor and I met. And during the pandemic, we decided to leave California and move closer to my family, thinking, hey, we'll be here for a short time. And during the season that we were staying with actually my mom in North Texas, we were doing a few Airbnb stays. One of the Airbnbs that we stayed in happened to be in San Antonio.
Okay.
And we fell in love with it. And it happened to be October. We didn't understand what heat truly was.
Right.
But we did fall in love with the ability to come back to a city that had bikeable spaces, walkable spaces. And that's where we landed and why we landed here.
Okay. And that was just a couple years ago, three years ago. How long was that process?
The process of moving to San Antonio?
Yes.
I mean, pretty quick. I would say we moved to Texas in the sort of middle pandemic in late 2020. We sheltered in place with family for about a year then got an apartment in Fort Worth and started looking for houses. And that's when we decided that North Texas wasn't going to meet our needs, and San Antonio just kept calling back to us. So we kind of moved down here on a lark. Elizabeth was working remotely. I had quit my job during the pandemic, so nothing brought us here other than pure speculation that we would enjoy living here. Okay. And I mean, she's not wrong. That first summer we almost short sold the house and left. We were like, lied to us. Nobody told us it got this hot down here.
Yeah, man,
I'm from Indiana originally. Like she said, we met in California in grad school. So I'm not used to this heat, y'all.
It gets pretty elevated in terms of the temperature for sure.
Ooh.
So you moved here to San Antonio.
Yep.
Why Beacon Hill? Could you tell our listeners a little bit about this community? I'm pretty familiar about Beacon Hill. It definitely has its very special vibe to it. Give us a little bit of background about why we chose Beacon Hill as a place of putting roots, so to speak.
So as I mentioned, we were here for an Airbnb stay, and we found the Strip on our very last night. And we were like, this is so cool. So we came back when we decided we were going to move closer into San Antonio. We said, okay, well, we'll just go and hang out on the Strip one night and decide, you know, where we're going to go. So we went to a pizza truck and they asked why we were here. And we told them, well, we're going to think about moving here. And they are the ones who said, go look at Beacon Hill.
Okay.
Yeah. So we really did. We moved to San Antonio on a bit of a whim and we found Beacon Hill on a bit of a whim.
Yeah. I mean, the guy at a pizza truck on St. Mary's Strip late at night said, oh, yo, it's so cool. There's a lot of artists. There's a lot of musicians. It's a great neighborhood. It's very cool. You guys should check it out. So we just narrowed the Zillow search in on the neighborhood and we found a bunch of houses that we liked. And through process of elimination, we ended up, I mean, right down the street, two blocks away from the bar. So
this is definitely a cool neighborhood. And I'm excited that you guys are here with Copper Rose in this neighborhood. Could you give us a little bit of background about when the idea of possibly doing a wine bar in Beacon Hill came up?
Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, we'll probably get into this, but we don't have a real history in the wine industry specifically, but we are very much community builders, whether it's businesses or nonprofits or stuff like that. When we moved into the neighborhood, one of the things that we really felt like it was lacking was sort of like weekday socialization. Third spaces, places to just hang out, right? Like many neighborhoods in San Antonio, it's mostly open and busy on the weekends, and you've got these really slow days where most things are closed, like let's say like Sunday evening through Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And we just wanted someplace we could walk to get a drink on a Tuesday, and that wasn't here. So in a moment of frustration, I think Elizabeth might have said, oh, we should just do it ourselves. And I said, okay, let's do it ourselves.
Wow.
And wine was the answer to what kind of vibe does this neighborhood want? Because it is a slow-paced neighborhood. It's a calm neighborhood, a family-friendly neighborhood. We don't want to be St. Mary's Strip. We don't want to be Southtown. I love going to those places for the evening.
Sure.
But like I said, I live two blocks away. So I don't think anybody in the neighborhood wanted another alcohol establishment on this Blanco corridor that would bring that kind of late-night excitement. So wine seemed like it communicated the kind of social atmosphere that we wanted in our neighborhood. So that's why we decided on wine, and that's why we decided here.
Okay. Well, and when we first moved in, we moved into a house that has a porch, and that's one thing that this neighborhood is known for, is its 100-year-old homes with porches.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so we would invite neighbors to our front porch and on Sunday evenings just have, and it wasn't fully dinner, so we would just have some drinks on the porch. Because I started realizing, well, there's not actually a way to even get to know your neighbors in our area. Beacon Hill has over 2,200 households here. It's a very large neighborhood.
Sure.
And when you don't have a communal space for people to really gather, you don't really get to know who people are. As Victor mentioned, we are very community-oriented. That's actually... why we were out in what we went to grad school for was more community-oriented kind of organizations. And it just really showed, like, well, if we don't have something, then we could start here and build something. And that's really where we are.
That's kind of cool. And it's very refreshing to hear that you guys are connected and want to build community, because it seems like the more developments we have throughout the city and a lot more fences go up, the less community we have. Even though someone can say, well, I live in Alamo Ranch, you can sometimes never even know your neighbors. And
Absolutely.
You've been there for 10 years because no one really gets out to be involved with their communities and sit and chit chat and get to know everyone. So to hear that kind of thing about Beacon Hill and your guys' background about community is very refreshing. It's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you can even hear it now of, you know, in even the background, like, we're recording in our space because, as Victor mentioned, we didn't have a space that was open. So we wanted to make a space that was open. So even as we're recording, you can hear people who are here in the background and chatting and having this conversation.
Yeah.
We want to be able to still do our business and be involved with our community at the same time.
Yeah, we want it to be a place where people can come take their meetings, read a book, do some work, take a break from shopping at one of the many amazing stores here in the Beacon Hill neighborhood, and just relax, hang out. We want it to feel like you're having a drink on our porch or in our living room. And that's the kind of space that we tried to create.
And I tell you, when I first heard about Copper Rose opening, I kind of snuck in under the radar. I brought my backpack and my computer, and I sat over in one of the corners. Then I just kind of started doing my work, and I immediately felt the calmness, the community in this environment, in this space. And I was like, this is special. And I've got to get these two on the podcast and talk about this and share with everybody that I possibly can. Speaking of the space, could you speak to our listeners a little bit about the aesthetics about the space? There's you got books, wine books around, you got charcuterie. Who was the mastermind behind that kind of aesthetic environmental design?
I mean, design is all Elizabeth. I would just pile boxes in the corner. I mean, there's a pile of boxes over there. That is my fault. But Elizabeth is definitely the designer. She did a lot of design work in college and undergrad and stuff, and she's very, very good at it. So we handed that over to her almost entirely.
So, and what we also wanted to do so was expand that definition of community, and how could we then start playing, or not even playing, bringing the neighbors into this. So what we actually also started to do was see in the neighborhood who was a carpenter. So the wine racks that are behind you, they were all actually made by a carpenter who lives in Beacon Hill.
Beautiful.
And then the wood in front of it is actually from an old historic home here in San Antonio. That's the same that's actually on the bar itself.
Yeah.
So our goal was to try to tie in, if it wasn't just in Beacon Hill, San Antonio as a whole in this space. And it meant that we had to be very intentional in everything that we do. And the other thing is that we decided the green color because of the patina of Copper Rose. So the name itself, Copper Rose, is actually from Victor's parents. Victor's dad was a blacksmith, and he and his mom had a company called Copper Rose. So we asked to use that name, and then we looked at what the patina would be from our copper, and that's how we got the green colors in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah, my parents were metal sculptors, and Copper Rose was the name of their studio. So before my father passed away a few years ago, we got the chance to ask him if we could use that name for the wine bar, and he was very enthusiastic about it. And sort of surreptitiously hidden around the room in various places, there are small copper roses that my parents made. And that's, yeah, that's what it's named after.
That's extremely cool. Now, you guys mentioned that you want to bring a space where folks can come in and have a beverage mm-hmm. and just kind of hang out and chit-chat. To run a business and start a business is a challenge in itself. You guys mentioned that you didn't really have a background in wine per se.
Right.
You put these things together and just said, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, we've all had retail and hospitality jobs growing up, right? We all had to work in cafeterias or kitchens or retail stores at some point. So we've got a sort of like baseline understanding of the retail side. Elizabeth knows a lot about business funding and business finance and balancing books and all the back end stuff. I am painfully antisocial, so I like to work diligently and quietly in the background, like building things and fixing things. So we get all that work done. And then, you know, the part of that cocktail that was missing was the wine. So Elizabeth had met Anna and they immediately clicked, and Anna was looking for a new position in the wine industry here in town, having had many, many years of experience before. So we tapped her to be the beverage director and general manager, and that was the last thing that we needed, is somebody who knew wine. You know, I had the time, Elizabeth had the design skill and know-how, and Anna had the beverage expertise, and it was enough to put it together.
Fantastic. Yeah. Before we move on to Nobleman Wines,
yeah, please.
Can we talk a little bit about, I know when I go to your websites, you guys do a fantastic job of putting out a newsletter, I believe, weekly about what's going on here at Copper Rose, from small, you know, farmers markets popping up, or there's wine tastings, there's music going on, which I absolutely love. You guys are very consistent and concise on what you guys put out. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah.
This is a little bit of a sore point because I hate receiving email marketing. So I never want to send it, but they make me do it anyway.
Yeah, yes. It all really does come back to the community and what is the need for this neighborhood. So we could do a lot of different things within the wine space. There's been a huge trend of popping up, like really cool pop-ups and farmers markets, but just food pop-ups that are really wild and really cool. And especially in the natural wine scene, they have like a very cool kind of vibe. And we could have done that, but what we're really focused on with this particular brand is what does this neighborhood need?
Okay.
So the farmers markets actually started for a need because Beacon Hill happens to be on the brink of a food desert. And so I actually started my kind of hospitality space because I worked in the food industry and owned my own catering company in Los Angeles. Okay. And I learned a lot about food insecurity, and realized, well, Beacon Hill is not out of food insecurity. So how do we bring that kind of thing here into San Antonio? Realizing, well, I actually now have access to a space where other people don't. So let's utilize the space for this neighborhood. That's where the farmers markets came in. Yeah. The music came in because it was a neighbor. As Victor mentioned, we were told about this neighborhood because of artists, musicians. So one of the musicians actually initially came to us and asked if they could perform here. So we said, sure, why not? And so they said, let's start on a regular thing. So we really have tried to do things on a weekly cadence because we understand the importance of having things regularly scheduled so that you can have, you know, something that is, you just know it's going to be there. And, you know, what is it that you said?
I sort of operate under the belief that if somebody has to look it up, you've already lost them.
Yeah.
That we want our hours and our events and schedule to be easily memorizable. Like, we know that music is always on Monday. We know we open at noon every single day. Like, it's just easy to remember. You don't have to get online and look up our hours. You don't have to get online and look up our events. I mean, you should, but by and large, they're kind of the same week after week and month after month, not in a stale way. You know, it's always a new musician. There's always new vendors at the markets. We're always tasting new wines. But we want to make that experience as frictionless for the consumer as possible.
Well, and something that when we first moved back to Texas, and I don't think it was just in San Antonio, but what we started to realize is this, we would show up, and it could have been through COVID, and I don't really know, but we would go to different places, and the sign that they had on the door was different than the sign or the hours that were posted online, which is different than Yelp, and then we would inevitably end up going just because might as well just see what's there, and if it's open, and sure enough, it wasn't, more times than not, or it was a sign, like a handwritten sign, hey, I'm tired, or I don't feel well, or I'm sick, or we started seeing this over and over and over again, and I think that was kind of the reason why we wanted to really first off strive for it. So our focus is community and consistency. Yeah. That's really how those are our values for this company.
And in the first probably 2 weeks of being open, we close at 10 on weekdays, and a guy rolled up at 9:53 and he came in and we talked and he bought some bottles of wine to take home. And he's like, you know, I actually just came to test you and see if you'd actually be open when you said you would be open.
Oh.
And I wasn't. He's been a regular, consistent customer ever since, just because we're just committed to being here when we say we're going to be here.
I think that's fantastic. And I encourage you guys both. I know you said you ain't putting out the emails, but those emails, I think they're so consistent. Yeah. They're so informative. It hits home for me, and I'm sure it does with a lot of your other followers. So please continue to do that.
I'm trying to be short to the point and just tell people what they want to know, right? Like, here's the events that are coming up. Here's the cool new wine on the shelf. Come try it. It's great. Just come hang out. Just come hang out with me.
Yeah. So just so everyone knows, every 3 weeks, buy the glass changes, or buy the glass menu changes every 3 weeks.
Yeah, so come in and try new wines multiple times a month. We'd love to have you.
Okay, sounds good. Came to San Antonio, found this beautiful community, started a beautiful wine bar. Then all of a sudden, you guys are owners of a wine label.
Yeah.
How in the world did Nobleman Wines fall on your lap or on your radar of things to acquire and add to the portfolio?
That is 100% Victor.
I like to bite off more than I can chew. I don't know. Okay, so real answer is, when we were opening, we spent a lot of time debating like how involved Texas Wine was going to be in the wine bar, because I think for a long time Texas Wine has had a bad reputation for a good reason, and it's only in the last handful of years that very serious vintners and very serious viticulturalists have started to like make headway and making Texas wine a real like world-class product.
Okay.
And when we were shopping around for Texas wines to stock on the shelves, we did not find many that we liked. We were not nearly as involved in the industry as we are now, but we did stumble across Nobleman Wine at a local event, and they were delicious. They were amazing.
Sure.
And Austin Pitzer, the founder, was fun and charming and easy to work with and very supportive. So we had Nobleman Wine on the shelf since day one. And Austin got an opportunity to move back home to Dallas and transition out of the Texas wine industry. And he was shopping around for a buyer, either for the business or for the inventory or something. And we talked about it. We were at a point in national politics where everybody was talking about tariffs and how that would affect imported wine.
Right.
And we thought maybe having our hand on the lever of domestic production was a wise idea for the years to come. So with all that said, you know, it was a good product. We wanted to keep on our shelf. There was a lot of exigent factors that made it seem like a decent idea. So we put in an offer and came to an agreement.
Did you go to Elizabeth and say, hey, honey, I was talking to Austin and we're going to buy a wine label?
No, we were together when Austin broke the news to us.
Okay.
And, you know, we were on a long drive home after that. And, you know, I'm sitting there in the passenger seat of the car with furrowed brow, like, well, maybe if we did it like this, we could leverage that. Oh, man, I don't know.
Yeah.
This would be really hard, but I don't know, man. Maybe it's a good idea. And, you know, I mean, we talked about it a lot, but eventually we just decided to take the risk because life is short. I think, you know, we've sort of alluded to the fact that both of our fathers have passed away and my mother as well. So between the two of us, we really only have one parent left. And our parents were taken from us much younger than they ought to have been.
Sure.
So the two of us are keenly aware of how short life is. And we don't want to say no to chances. Like, they don't come up very often. So when they do, we want to seize upon them.
That's fantastic.
So what it is actually meant for this bar. So Copper Rose Wine now also is the home of Nobleman Wine Tasting Room. So we closed down the tasting room in Kerrville. It is still where we do production. But what we also learned is that we are one of the only ones, if not the only, that has a Texas wine label and then also sells wine from around the world.
Yeah.
And what this has also pushed us to do is actually be able to say Texas wine should be able to be on a world stage and hasn't had the chance or the opportunity. But what it also means for us now as winemakers is to go back to our team at Nobleman and say, we need to raise the bar to this. This is what the world is drinking.
Right.
This might be where Texas is, but we need to get up to where the world stage is.
Nice.
And that has really pushed us in both the Texas Ag Department, mm-hmm. having conversations with them, but also, if you can hear, it's actually a wine tasting behind us, and you can probably hear, like, you know, little notes of other things, but we're also tasting wine from around the world here.
Sure.
So we want to make sure that when you are coming to Copper Rose, you are not just getting Texas wine, but you're also getting an entire experience.
That's fantastic. Now, we mentioned that the production is still going on out there in Kerrville. I know John Rivenberg worked with Nobleman Wines in the past. Could you guys speak to that? Is that still part of the logistics of Nobleman Wines? Or if you can, or if you can't, that's cool. I understand.
Oh, no, of course.
Could you tell us a little bit about that relationship?
Oh, sure.
John Rivenberg and the incubator program?
Yeah, so John Rivenberg is still our winemaker, for sure. I have not been shy at all about giving him all the credit for making these amazing wines. He's won many, many awards for his winemaking. We're very lucky to be working with him. The sort of, like, DNA of Nobleman's, like, wine identity was put together in collaboration between Austin and John, so keeping John on board was an important part of keeping Nobleman's brand distinct and unified. So we're stoked to continue to work with John. John's incubator program is pretty far reaching, and he works with people to establish everything from, like, wine retail and wine distribution and wine marketing. And a lot of that was already in place because of Nobleman's history. Austin came into this with a lot of experience from the California wine industry. We, of course, already had our retail spot up and running. So while we don't work, in all of the areas of John's incubator program, we encourage people who are interested in getting into the wine industry to take a look at it, because it is a very unique program that can help you from day one get every piece put together.
Okay.
Right. And I will say that we acquired everything in the spring of 2025, and we also, which was before harvest. And so Victor and I knew that we were going to do harvest and invited our entire staff to be able to participate if they wanted to. So we raise our hand when we're not afraid to get our hands dirty. I mean, it goes back into the fact that we are, you know, we raise our own chickens and we have, you know, we have our garden.
Cool.
And that really is a big part of it. It reminds us as to wine is not just this thing that you drink. It's also a story. It's also, it's an agricultural product, and we need to be able to relate back to who, you know, were the people who grew the grapes that then produces this incredible, the drink that we have. And that's a big part of why I think our ethos as to who we are as people and as kind of wine owners as well.
I think that's a very important point that you touched on there. You know, that agricultural piece about how wine is grown. We saw in July with the floods, and you know, big shout out to John Rivenberg. Hopefully everything is getting back on track. I understand he lost his entire vineyard, so they're in a replanting kind of situation. But that's a part of agriculture.
Absolutely.
And weather and climactic events that can possibly happen to a business like yours. A lot of people see the ambiance of wine and the fantasy of wine, which is fantastic. We love that part, but there is the nitty gritty part, the 100%. Down and dirty part that comes with that. And to hear that you guys are in the trenches with that is pretty cool.
Yeah, we try to the best of our ability, right? I mean, it all starts with the farm workers. You don't get wine unless somebody gets dirt under their fingernails first. No matter how expensive your bottle of wine is, it started with a farm worker. So, yes. I mean, those people are like the linchpin of this whole operation. So we try to get out there and punch the wine and harvest the grapes wherever we can. Running retail keeps us very, very busy. But, you know, in an ideal world, we want to get as involved and more involved, harvest after harvest, vintage after vintage, leaving our fingerprints on the wine and getting, like you said, down and dirty with everybody that's working in this process so that we know what they're going through.
That's cool. Here's a part of the segment I like to call Let's Let the Wine Shine.
Yeah.
All right. And so here recently, you guys have been big winners of the Vintner's Cup.
Yes, we did.
For your guys' 2024 Senso wine.
Yes.
Could you touch on that wine specifically a little bit and talk maybe a little bit about the Vintner's Cup and what an awesome accomplishment
very cool.
That is?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. So the Vintner's Cup is a wine competition run by Texas Monthly and the Texas Department of Agriculture. And they choose 12 wines every year that are the 12 best wines in Texas. It's not ranked like, you know, 1 through 12, but a case of wine is 12 bottles. So they pick 12 of the best wines so that people can then put together a little custom case of the 12 best wines in the state. And we are very excited that one of our wines, the Senso, was named among that top 12. It's a beautiful wine. It's light-bodied. It's tart. It's red. It's... You can serve it chilled. You should serve it chilled. Mm-hmm. You should not drink it with steak. Drink it with barbecue. Drink it with pizza. Drink it at the cookout. Take it.
You can do it for Thanksgiving.
It's an amazing. Thank God. That would go so good with stuffing. Lord. Right. Yes. I mean, it's an everyday drinkable red wine that just pairs so well with Texas food. It's outstanding. I mean, we're in San Antonio, right? So there's always the Big Red and Barbacoa jokes. And I always tell people anything you would drink Big Red with, you can drink that Senso with.
Cool.
It's fruity, it's juicy, it's tart, it's light, it's fun. Blackberries and black tea, I think. It's outstanding.
That's great.
But I will say, this was completely unexpected.
Yeah.
Completely unexpected. And we had a handful of other things on our to-do list and calendar. And it was one of those moments where we were like, okay, I guess we're going to go to the Texas State Fair. We're going to go pour here. We're going to go and do all these different things that has been incredible for us as new owners of this brand and been able to open a lot of opportunities and doors, but also goes back to what Victor was talking and mentioning on how we even sourced and tried, you know, Nobleman Wines in the first place. Mm-hmm. We saw this. It stood out. It was this incredible wine. And we just want to continue to make sure that other people know about this incredible wine.
That's right.
And this, you know, the Vintner's Cup, I mean, with Jessica Dupuy and all those guys over there and master sommeliers judging those wines or tasting those wines and putting a couple hundred wines in and coming up with 12 and you guys be amongst the 12.
It's a huge honor.
That's a huge, huge honor.
Huge honor. Absolutely. I mean, of those 12 wines, 3 of them were made by John Rivenberg. So you can see why we want to continue working with him.
Absolutely. Cool, cool, cool. All right. So are you guys going to take on any other?
Always.
He went after it's always.
Never, it's never going to stop.
All right. So do you have something coming up here?
Oh, so much.
Oh, man. Talk to us a little bit about it. What's going on?
Yeah. So our big, like, you know, you and I have been talking for a while and trying to find some time to sit down and get together. And we finally made the time because pretty soon we're going to be too busy because we are about to open a Nobleman Wines Texas wine bar in Glen Rose, Texas. So, when we moved to Texas, we originally moved to Glen Rose. That's where my mother-in-law lives and all of my wife's family. And it's got a beautiful historic downtown square around the courthouse, like many of the like charming small Texas towns do. And it's right between the Paluxy and Brazos rivers. It's got a lot of tourists on the weekends coming out to cycle and run and hike and kayak and float and do a lot of cool outdoorsy Texas stuff. And when we were discussing, like, who is the ideal customer who wants Nobleman Wines, they want really nice, well-made, premium wines, and they care that it came from Texas. It's the kind of person that wants to spend their weekend in Glen Rose.
Okay.
So a building became available right downtown on the square that had been a wine tasting room in the past. And just because we're so intimately familiar with the town, because our family lives there, we heard about it, we drove up. We took a look. We loved it. We put in an offer. We got the keys. And I've spent the last few weeks driving supplies up there every weekend. So, January 2026, Nobleman Wines Texas Cellar, opening in Glen Rose, Texas, up in North Texas.
Wow, that's fantastic news. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're continuing to bite off some big challenges, but you got big shoulders, and you can kind of hold on to it.
We've got each other, and that is critical. I mean, I couldn't do this alone. I don't think Elizabeth could do this alone. It's both like there's the practical support of like working with and for each other when we need a ringer to come in and help out. And there's also the emotional support that's significantly more important, the encouragement and the similar commitment to values that make us believe that these are risks worth taking.
And it helps because we have an incredible general manager and wine director. So Anna Reyes Bonar is this just powerhouse, and she has been able to kind of say, okay, I'm going to come in as the third person of this like leadership team, and the two other people are married. How do I navigate that? Right. And that's a challenge in and of itself.
Sure.
And then saying when, you know, she was the first person we told that we were going to be taking this on. And I think she's learned in this year is like, great, let's go. Let's keep going.
And credit where credit is due. I mean, she's brought on an amazing staff of bartenders here at Copper Rose that are kind and charming and hardworking. They know wine. They care about customers. And the whole staff really is the glue that keeps this whole place together. So we know that we're not moving to Glen Rose. Y'all, my house is two blocks down the street. But I'll be there on weekends for a while.
Cool.
But we trust them. I think the other reason we did Glen Rose too, and a little bit of backstory about me, is that my great grandfather actually, with his seven siblings, ended up having a house on the river 44 years ago. They bought property.
Sure.
And long story is that it's now in the hands of another family member, but still the family. And there is something about when you realize the communal component. So we realize the community for ourselves here in Beacon Hill. My communal component from a familial space is in Glen Rose. And so how do we make sure that we are also still caring for the people who we love as they age, as they're still, you know, invested into spaces, and especially small towns, they still need a small town that is thriving.
Yes.
And how can we bring this, like our ability to try and run a business and running a business into a town that needs a little bit of help? So that's where we were like, yeah, this is an incredible opportunity for us to say, yeah, let's offer them a communal space as well, just like we did in Beacon Home.
That's cool. And it seems like you guys are generating this vibe, this feeling, this success. And I'm sure a lot of people want to be in the Icorn business. You're really doing it well. I know there's events coming up, you know, one in particular, you know, here in San Antonio, Frankie's Supper Club. I guess you guys are doing a little bit of a collaboration with Matt Bostic over at his place. Could you talk to us a little bit about maybe that event that's coming up?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, the short version is that Frankie's is coming to San Antonio for the first time. One of their locations is going to be hosted here at Copper Row. So we're going to have a nighttime dinner outside, under the stars, under the lights. Nobleman Wines is going to be providing the wine to pair with the meal, and Frankie's team is going to knock it out of the park with food. So, go online, check them out, get tickets. Seats are limited.
Yes.
come hang out with us. Come eat really good food with us. Drink really good wine with us.
That sounds cool. And that's at frankiesprovisions.com.
Yep.
You can reach out to those guys there. That's going to be an outstanding event. You talk about having dinner outside under the stars. This location, it's going to be fantastic. So, you know, definitely get in on that. One of my last questions to you guys as we wrap this up, I think you touched on it many times, but if you can just hit it one more time and just kind of tie it all together. It was, you know, why are the values of hospitality and community so important to you and your business?
So something that Victor and I had heard years ago was a definition of hospitality is the art of both giving and receiving. And the ability to then take that definition into community means that we're not just giving, but we're also receiving that hospitality from the people around us. That means that we need to slow down a little bit. We need to be able to have spaces that we can slow down. Mm-hmm. Be okay with, okay, if you are working a 40-hour week, then end at a 40-hour week and not all these other things. How can we allow for other people to participate in this? And that is something that Victor and I have had actually a very shared belief in since before. I mean, we both had it separately, but it's probably what drew us together. So the reason and why are the values of here is because that's how we see the world.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we mentioned that we had met each other in California in grad school, but it's worth noting that that grad school was seminary. So, like, we are, you know, we're Episcopalians, we're very churchy. Hospitality and the giving and receiving of gifts is the cornerstone of the way we see the world. And, you know, we're a part of a tradition that wants to create safe and welcoming spaces for everyone. And we want to do that every other day of the week, too. I mean, if wine's good enough for Sunday morning, it's good enough for the other 6 days of the week.
Absolutely. That is fantastic. Well, guys, thank you so much for
joining
Michael,
me. Thanks, Michael, for coming in, man.
I really appreciate you taking the time to joining us here on the Texas Wine Scene Podcast. It's been a long time coming. I didn't want to encroach in your space.
No,
I know you guys are busy.
I love it.
Running multiple businesses and taking the time to stop in and let me taste a little bit of your wine
of course.
Hang out with you at Cobb Rose has been fantastic. Where can our listeners find you guys on socials, or how can we get a hold of Nobleman Wines?
Like I said earlier, we try to make things easy for people. So if you Google Cobb Rose Wine or Nobleman Wines, you'll find us. It's the same name on Instagram, Facebook. It's our same for our website URL. I mean, we're super easy to find. So, yeah, look us up online. We'll be there.
And it's just so you know, Nobleman Wines and Copper Rose Wine. So there's an S on Nobleman and not an S on Copper Rose.
Find it in the show notes, listeners.
Find it in the show notes. Guys, thank you so much. We sure appreciate it.
Thanks.